The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 451. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. My guest is an individual that has appeared on the show many times in the past. He is the man behind Mess Bucket Comics and a fantastic hockey comic called Donnybrook. Of course, I'm talking about Dom Riggio. Dom and I talk about the new and fourth installment of Donnybrook, giving a little bit of the history of the project, as well as talking about the Kickstarter for issue 4 to help fund the last few things with that project. Dom and I will even discuss the Darren McCarty graphic novel that he composed, as well as his relationship with Darren. And we cover some older projects as well. We'll also discuss the Frozen Fish Fiasco, a charity event that Dom has put on for a number of years, and even talk about a possible project that really would launch Donnybrook into the next stratosphere. And that's all I'll say. I'll let Dom talk about it. It is true indeed that we did record this episode while Dom was driving home from the New York City Comic Con. So if there's some oddities in the audio, hey man, it's because Dom was on the road. What can I say? But with that, I'm not going to spend any more time talking. I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Dom Riggio talking about his comic, Donnybrook. Ladies and gentlemen, this afternoon, I am sitting down. Well, somewhat sitting down. I mean, technically, my guest is sitting down. He just happens to be behind the wheel of a car. But anyways, the man behind Mess Bucket Comics, Dom Riggio, is joining me. Dom, how's it going, man?
It's going good. I've had a long day, but I'm excited to break up the monotony here.
You are driving home from New York City because you were at the New York City Comic Con over this past weekend. How was the show in New York City?
The show was great. I think it's my fifth or sixth year doing the show, and it's always the one to look forward to for me. The excitement, the atmosphere, it's just phenomenal. My sales were great, and we had Brian O'Halloran at my table. That was a new experience to have someone of that caliber be a part of a project and be at a table with me for all 4 days. It was definitely well worth the trip.
Oh, that's good. That's good. And, you know, I, you and I were talking off air. I haven't actually been to New York City since, well, about 14 years ago, because it was the year that The Walking Dead was debuting. And I had a blast. I went as a fan. I enjoyed it. I had a couple of buddies that went with me. We had a blast. So definitely I can back up what Dom is saying and report that it is a fantastic Comic-Con.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. There's nothing that I do that quite compares to that. Just the level of excitement from the fans, and then there's so much there. Marvel was there. They were, I don't know, a stone's throw away from me. And people were just the excitement and the atmosphere. You can't compare it.
You know what? I want to ask you about another Comic-Con that you were at, because you stated that, you know, this past weekend was New York. Prior to that, the previous weekend was Chronic Con, which was in Chicago. Tell us a little bit about that con, because I think that's a newer one. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, it's not a weed convention, which people were confusing. But it's Kevin Smith's Comic-Con. It's his first one. And the people from Astronomicon, one of my local shows in Michigan there, put it on, and they did a great job with this convention. It was in the hotel that accompanied the old Wizard World Chicago in Rosemont, if that narrows it down a little bit. It was a three-day show. I didn't really know what to expect. Thought I might do pretty good, you know, having a Brian O'Halloran connection with Donnybrook and some other things. But it was a lot of fun. A great many of the people involved in the VSQ universe, you know, Clerks and Mallrats, Chasing Amy. Shannon Elizabeth was there. I mentioned Brian, Jason Mewes, Ming Chen, and a couple other guys from Comic Book Men. Tommy Chong was there, and some great, great vendors. I think there's, for the first time they put it on, they had some great panels, you know, with Kevin Smith, of course, was there. He did his podcast live from there. And if you think about all the name people that have appeared in Kevin Smith films over the years, I mean, there is a ton of potential for growth. I mean, you've got Ben Affleck, Alanis Morissette, Chris Rock, Matt Damon, just off the top of my head. I mean, I don't even know if they've done conventions before, but the way people talk about Kevin Smith, they would, you know, do anything for him.
Well, that's cool that was a new con that's doing it right and entertaining the fans from, you know, all walks of life, comics and the VSQ universe. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I never saw so many guys with backward hats on as I did that weekend. There's people dressed as Kevin Smith, you know, the Silent Bob, and then there's people dressed as Randall, always had his hat on backwards. I'm like, okay, yep, there's no forward hats here, unless it was a movie's hat. Other than that, there were backward hats. But it was a blast and a new experience, even for me, that, you know, I feel like I've done just about everything in the 12 years I've been doing this.
All right, well, you mentioned Donnybrook, so let's talk about it. If you wouldn't mind giving the listeners a recap of what that project is all about.
Yeah, so it was, I put out four or five books at the time, and I always had this idea of doing a hockey comic book. A lot of people told me that it wasn't a very good idea. People into comics aren't into sports. People into sports aren't into comics. But I always believed that if it's a good story, it's good. People will find a way to read it or watch it. You know, I had an ex-girlfriend of mine. She always watched Sex and the City, and I just growl, okay. Next thing you know, I'm into it. I've seen every episode. I even saw the movies. So because it's well-written, it's a good story. It wasn't up my alley at all, but I ended up really enjoying it. So I was like, all right, hopefully this is good. So I put out the first issue, which was basically just collection of my junior hockey story, playing junior hockey in Detroit, CompuWare, and I thought it'd be a fun thing to have it be a comedy and follow a fictional minor hockey league. So, I had a team that Messbucket Comics, my company, owned called the Michigan Massacre, and I kind of just started off with the preseason. And we'll see how this first book goes. And then Darren McCarty got a hold of it, a former Detroit Red Wing great. And he liked it so much that I offered him, like, okay, well, what if you give me a story from your pro career to adapt to the storyline? And I could just weave a story into it, and he loved it. And I said, let's go a step further. How about you own one of the fictional teams in the comic book? And I go, you can name it whatever you want, any city, as long as you can have any color, as long as we're not already using it. And he thought about it for about a minute and a half, and he said, Burnaby Blazers, Burnaby, British Columbia. They're going to be pot-smoking lumberjacks. So, yeah, that was the theme of the logo in the team. And, you know, we put out the second book, and by that time we also caught the eye of Brian O'Halloran from Clerks, who I've mentioned, and I offered him the same thing, and we actually did an online poll. You know, whoever came up with the best idea would get for the team, whoever names the team and that Brian likes, we will send you a free jersey. And at that was the point where we started making jerseys. You can buy a Burnaby Blazers jersey, a Hell's Kitchen Heathen jersey, which is Brian's team. And then we got Brandon Inge from the Detroit Tigers and some other people that will hopefully appear in future issues. So we've put out 3 issues so far, and number 4 is out, but we have that Kickstarter going for that one where you can get exclusive things currently. We've got about 2 weeks left in that one.
So let's talk a little bit about the Kickstarter, because it is fully funded, correct?
Correct. We are fully funded as of right now, and that's I've never had one be funded in the first week. That is one hell of a relief. That feels great, and it's very, very exciting. And it's book 4, which features a story that we wove in the storyline from Scott Burton, who played many years in the NHL, a great guy. And also features the premiere of Renee Paquette, who is a backstage reporter. I don't know what her official job description is with AEW.
Yeah, I think she's a backstage reporter backstage interviewer, if you want to call her that, in AEW.
Yeah, like their Mean Gene, you know.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so that book's out. You know, we have signed jerseys available at DonnybrookComicBook.com, and it will direct you right to the Kickstarter page. We've got signed jerseys from O'Halloran and McCarty, Brandon Inge. If you missed the Darren McCarty life story comic book, that's also available as a reward in this Kickstarter as well.
Well, I like how you named a lot of your tiers after hockey-related terms like cup check and healthy scratch. I thought that's pretty... it's so obvious, but I assume, I don't know, just to me, it impressed me. What can I say?
I wanted to start with the lower ones, you know, some not derogatory, but things you use when things aren't going well on the ice, and it slowly, you know, as you go down, spend more money, they get, you know, I think there's what I put in there, Conn Smythe Award winner for the final one. And
yeah, one timer.
So, bar down or something. I don't have it in front of me.
Oh, I didn't see this one. I like Yzerman shoots on Casey. That's a good one. Okay, yeah. That's... I remember watching that game. That was a hell of a game. I remember that.
Yeah, if anybody knows Steve Yzerman, I don't know why he hasn't been on that yet. Come on, what are you waiting for? We've got 2 weeks left. Chirp him on Twitter. He's probably not even on there.
So what are some of the other stretch goals that you have? I know you mentioned a couple of them, but is there any other ones that you wanted to highlight there real quick?
I think we had, I don't have it in front of me. And like I said, my brain is fried from 2 weeks in a row at the convention. I think we throw in signatures and exclusive posters, I believe. If it's not on the bottom there, it reveals either tomorrow or the day after.
Okay. Yeah, you actually have the Conn Smythe is where you get everything, actually. You get jerseys signed, you get the print comics, you get the PDF versions as well. So that's a heck of a deal. And there's a lot of things here. Bar Down is signed comics or signed jerseys and comics from everybody involved in the project. The one-timer is you got jerseys and comics as well. So you got a little bit of everything there, hockey-related for fans who want to enjoy the tale and express their love of hockey as well.
Right. It's a project that I had a shoestring budget for. You know, it's in black and white, and I had no clue where this was going. It started off, I just did it for me. I believed it, and I thought it could be something. And up there in sales, especially after this weekend, right with our Roddy Piper book, I mean, I can't believe the amount of people that really enjoy it, and they just keep bugging me, when's the next one? It's what you always hear as a writer, write what you know, and I know hockey, and I just really wanted to do it and present a story that follows an honest portrayal of minor league hockey. You know, you start in the preseason and regular season, And when book six comes, this is book four of a six-issue series, we'll have a champion for the season. We're going to present whichever winner, whichever team owner wins in the book. We're going to have a ring ceremony. We're going to put up a banner and a ring somewhere. And start of a season two with more teams and some. Like I'm really excited about one name that's definitely coming in season two. We're working on a few others. So this is a lot of fun. I don't believe this has been done in comics before, which really excites me. I like to do things that are outside the box.
So if people want to check out the Kickstarter, just go over to Kickstarter, put in Donnybrook Season 1, Book 4, or just Donnybrook. You'll get all of the pages there, and you can check out the project. And even though it's already funded, you know, if you like what you see, plunk down some cash. Help out Dom and his crew up there. You know, it's every little bit helps.
Yep. Or if you just want to get forwarded there and not have to search for it, Donnybrook Comic Book. .com will forward you right to the campaign.
Well, let's stay on topic of hockey here, and let's talk about the Darren McCarty book that you did. So how did that project come about?
You know, I'm a Detroit guy. I was always a Red Wings fan, and the fond memories of the dynasty they had for a while there. And when I was in college in the late 90s, we went to a Super Bowl party at a strip club in Detroit. And we were having a good time. We didn't have any money. We were sneaking drinks in there and everything. And we were talking about Final Fantasy VII, an old PlayStation game. Great game. Very difficult back then. It was hard to find where to go due to lack of reliable internet. And we were talking about how to breed chocobos at our table. This is I'm going pretty deep in the nerd hole here. I hope I didn't lose all your listeners, but
no.
we're talking about this, and literally this guy walked by, stops, grabs a chair, and straddles it, and he goes, "Are you guys talking about breeding gold chocobos?" Which is something that has probably never been said before at a strip club. And we're like, "Man, this guy's intense. What's going on?" And my roommate, you know, Cass Chandler Schlory, goes, "I think that's Darren McCarty, Dom." I'm like, "Are you Darren McCarty?" And he goes, "Oh, yeah, nice to meet you guys. I'm Darren now. But can we get back to the chocobos? I really need to breed a gold chocobo." We're just dying laughing. And, he grabs like a drink napkin, those real thin napkins, and a pen. He's trying to write down this long dissertation, this ridiculous string of things to do in the video game, and it's just, the napkin's breaking, and he goes, "Wait, email! I have email!" Okay. So we're like, "All right, we'll just email it to you. We'll email it to you." And he's all excited, and he went from like a 6 to a 10 on the excitement scale after this, and he grabs our waitress and says he's going to pick up our tab. And sat back at a table. He was like three tables away with Martin LaPointe and Chris Osgood. So we're laughing. And then we heard them say, "Are you bothering those college kids over there? What are you doing, Max?" And he's like, "Yeah, I'm going to breed a gold chocobo." So, so this is his life story. And that whole sequence is in the comic. And I'm like, you really want this? And he goes, "Yeah, of course. Why wouldn't I bring it?" I was like, didn't really want to put myself into my own comic. You know, I didn't want to be that guy, but I was like, all right, this is worth it. And so I met him there a long time ago, and then I met him later on in life with my charity hockey event, the Frozen Fish Fiasco with the alumni of Detroit Red Wings. And, after one of the games, I brought it up. I'm like, "Do you remember how you breeded the gold chocobo?" He goes, "Get the hell out of here. No way. That's you?" So then we had a meeting, and I had told him, you know, about Donnybrook and the life story comic, and he loved it. And he's been nothing but great. He's been aces for me. He's helped out in so many ways, even without me asking. It's really helped out my career. Never did you think. You never know where it's coming from.
Yeah, and getting a chance to meet him, I think 2 years ago for the first time in Monroe at the Monroe Comic Con, just not, I say this and I'm not being like trying to be derogatory or anything. He's just a character. That's all there is to it. He's got a personality on him that is to the nth degree. And that makes him so much fun to hang around and to talk to, you know, whether you talk about, you know, wrestling with him or hockey or whatever, you know, he's just got an enthusiasm about life in general. And that's what's awesome about Darren McCarty.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Mac is something else. Hey, he's one of a kind. I don't know of any comparables, but he is definitely an anomaly. He's just got his own thing. And it's like, wow. What? And then it's crazy because I found out we had so much common wrestling, and comics, and PlayStation, chocobos, and all this stuff. So I consider him a friend, and it's been an absolute blast. And for that reason, and also just being a fly on the wall, hearing Darren tell these stories about the Red Wings and Bob Probert and Steve Yzerman and all these Nick Lidstrom and all these legends, just Scotty Bowman, very, very informative. It was really cool.
Well, you mentioned it. Let's talk a little bit about it. You have a charity event called the Frozen Fish Fiasco. So run us down some of the details on this event that I believe, if I remember correctly, happens every February. Am I correct?
Yeah, it'll be this February 1st and 2nd. It's the weekend before the Super Bowl, like the Pro Bowl weekend. There's not much going on that weekend. And at Clark Park, which is the last outdoor full-size rink in Detroit. And you would think there would be more outdoor rinks in Detroit, supposed to be hockey town. And you know, other states that are big with hockey have a ton of them, Minnesota, Wisconsin, even on the East Coast. But for whatever reason, this is the last one, and we just created this charity organization to help keep the park alive. We've donated, I think, $200,000 over 15 years to the park. We've got local sponsors, big corporate sponsors. In the past, we've had, you know, Ram Truck and DP Gas Station, local UAW, and it spurred out of my men's league team just playing a game there, raising some money against another men's league team. And then the next year, there was two games, and then four games, and then we went to 2 days, and then we had the alumni Red Wings get involved, and the Red Wings played twice. So it's a lot of fun. It's an outside the box hockey. People think it's a fishing tournament or something, but I caught this mahi-mahi in Cancun in the 90s, and I'm not a fish on the wall type of guy, but my dad just thought that it absolutely should be stuffed and sent back to me, and it sat in my garage forever, and then hanging around with some of the guys, what are we going to name this event? And it's frozen, there's a fish. And if it's a fiasco, we make mistakes. Well, then we did it on purpose. So it's in the name. And you got mad at something. Well, sorry, it's in the name. It's supposed to be a fiasco. So we have, in the past, we've had cosplayers, 501st, you know, we had Darth Vader and stormtroopers giving quote-unquote security to the Red Wings walking out to the rink, and celebrities dropping the puck. Ted Lindsay dropped the puck, months before he passed away. That was really cool. And we had the Godfather, Rhino, dropping pucks at the event. It's an absolute blast, and it's something completely different that as far as I know, it's not out there.
Well, let's talk about another project that is kind of in the works, but some of the details are still being worked out. You told me in Monroe that you were involved in a TV project. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I've always loved comic books, but I really wanted to make film and television eventually when I started Mess Bucket Comics. And I put 12 years on the road and comic cons and writing and doing this, you know, to get this type of opportunity. And with Donnybrook, I thought was the best way to do it. We can do it. We're planning on doing a TV pilot, that live action TV pilot that we can hopefully shop around as streaming services. We're putting all the contracts together right now, but it's going to feature most of the teams in Donnybrook. We're going to have actors, we're going to have a casting call, And right now the director is going to be Josh Reel, who is the director of the Russian Five documentary, which was an award-winning documentary. And I thought he was perfect for this project. We're going to have appearances with Darren McCarty and Brian O'Halloran as well. Hopefully a segment, like a Sports Center type segment, where they're just going to be chirping each other throughout the credits. And we're just going to present the world of Donnybrook for the first time in a live action format.
That's something awesome, man. If you get the opportunity, if everything comes together, that's really cool.
Thank you. Yeah, it's one of those things where it's exciting, but you don't want to get too excited. I want to, you get it done and make sure we get it in the can and get it out there. And then there's the next part. All right, is anyone going to pick this up? Hopefully, people see the vision that I have and that the fans have enjoyed, and we can get it to the next level. So it's exciting, but I have my fingers crossed.
Okay. Well, since we have you here, and there might be some new listeners, let's talk about two more projects, but those projects are kind of, back in the past a little bit. First, let's talk about the Rowdy Roddy Piper project, called, of course, the Kilted Avenger. Tell us a little bit about that project, please.
Yeah, so I basically have the artist, very talented Eric Hodson, to thank for that. You see him at Comic Cons all over the place. He takes classic comic book covers and puts wrestlers on them. He did really well and caught the eye of wrestlers and people in the industry. And we were contacted by Pro Wrestling Tees about maybe doing a comic book for the Piper Estate. And I couldn't have been happier for that opportunity. Eric, you're a writer as well. He said, no, but I do have a guy that's really good for this. He has way more wrestling knowledge than anybody should have. And he's a big fan, and he would do a really good job. He can publish it. I was glad he said that, and we came up with the idea of the Kilted Avenger. Roddy would be the first in a series of hopefully four that we were going to release books for, and we have four wrestlers that take on a little bit of the wrestling persona, but also a superhero. So Roddy is a Kilted Avenger. He's a talk show host by day, vigilante by night. We had appearances with Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Bobby the Brain Heenan, Mick Foley, Tony Schiavone, Conrad Thompson. And I mean, that was the easiest thing to do. They were all like, oh my God, I'd love to be in a Roddy Piper comic book. So he's, we introduced the main villain, Ruth S. Heel. And Roddy and is trying to stop Ruth S. Heel from control of this dimension and other worlds. So the second book, which just went to printer, is the British Bulldog UK Defender. He's hiding in plain sight as a wrestler, but he's an MI6 agent. And we've got Stu Hart is involved in that. Steve from the Greatest Wrestling Collection is a part of it. And it's so exciting. I just kind of feel like I'm a vessel, and it's just the story is just coming through me, and I'm writing it down. It seems quite simple. And we haven't announced it yet, but it's been leaked out a little bit. But the third book will involve Kurt Angle as the hero. So it's coming along. It's exciting. And after we put out our Roddy Piper Kilted Avenger hockey jersey, many other wrestlers came and wanted us to make hockey jerseys for them as well, including Kurt Angle, British Bulldog, the Good Brothers, Mick Foley. Who am I leaving out here? My God. Rob Van Dam jersey just came out. And we've been selling those at conventions. It's been going great. So out of a comic book, a lot of other things, opportunities were presented.
Well, let's talk about the what started it all, the Arcane Awakening series. Can you give a quick summary of that?
I can, and there's another thing I think I forgot to tell you, but I'll give you the Arcane Awakening was my first graphic novel trilogy. It's X-Men meets Supernatural kind of feel to the story. One last battle between heaven and hell, winner takes earth. There's a team representing heaven and representing hell. It's my take on the ending to the Bible apocalypse story. a popular good or bad guy in the series is Ravager. It's a cannibal, and when he eats people, he turns into a demon. The bigger and stronger he gets, the more he eats, the bigger and stronger he gets. He was inspired by my ex-girlfriend, and the popular good guy is Mojo. Mojo drinks whiskey and speaks in all lyrics by the Doors. So at this point, you can guess it's kind of an outside-the-box superhero story on the end of time. And I did not tell you this part of it. For the past couple of years, starting with COVID, I was working on making a motion comic.
Oh!
And yeah. So the motion comic, for those that don't know, it's a couple steps below animation. We basically make the panels and on the comic book page move, and you add voice acting. So we've had some great voice acting. I think Mike Travis. Do you know Mike Travis?
I do know Mike Travis. Yes, yeah. I do know him.
Mike Travis was a hero of the project. I think he did 5 or 6 different voices, including the main character, Stigmata. And we also got Darren McCarty to do Ravager, of course, with his gravelly voice. And We added the roars to it, kind of like they did with Lou Ferrigno and the Hulk for those movies. So Brian was a big fan. That's actually how I met him before Donnybrook, Brian O'Halloran. He read The Arcane and, called me back and said he really enjoyed it. He was complimentary, which that was an honor. And when it came time for, I was like, would you like to voice one of these characters? He said, yeah. Which one? He said, Lucifer. I'm thinking to myself, Dante is going to voice Lucifer? How is this going to work? I'm like, all right, sure. You never know. And my God, John, he had it was incredible. He brought this elegance and just eerie nature to the character, which wasn't what I had in mind. It was way better. The guy that was recording goes, oh my God, this is phenomenal. And it just added to the respect I have for Brian and his talent. It's just, he is a very, very talented, multi-talented guy. And we had a premiere in Detroit at the Imagine Theater in Royal Oak where we finished it. It's an hour and a half film, and we've been waiting to hear back from some streaming services like Tubi or another one. So that's taken a lot longer than I've tried, but I want to get out there in a streaming service. And that's just another project that I have my fingers crossed on.
All right, Dom, you are certainly a busy man. And before I ask the last couple of questions here, let's just recap the Kickstarter. It is at kickstarter.com. You can search for Donnybrook, or you can go to the website, which, if I recall correctly, donnybrookcomicbook.com, correct?
Yep, donnybrookcomicbook.com, yep.
Okay, there you go. And you can get a straight shot right to the links for all of the Kickstarter information, and there's a link that takes you right there as well. So there's still plenty of time to plunk down some cash. And even, as many other creators have told me on the show, money's tight. You can always, like, share, support in a social media format, because that helps get the word out as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Sometimes that's even better. All our links are at messbucketcomics.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
All right. I got to ask you, my man, what are your thoughts on the Red Wing season so far this year?
I think they're starting to, I don't think it's going to be easy. They're still in the, hopefully the finishing touches of the Iser plan, that's what they call it around Detroit. I think they've improved. I think they had, Tarasenko, and they signed Kane for another year and got the Brinkett. A couple more defensemen, and the goalie situation I'm not sold on, but they were a game away from the playoffs last year, and I think that they've got a better shot this year. It's way too early to tell, but I think they have the makings of a really good team. Young guys and veterans. I love watching Seider play. Just needs a little more help back there, and if you're in the Detroit area, on November 2nd, Darren and I will be at a table at the Comerica entrance selling his life story. At November 2nd, Red Wings game, I believe 7 o'clock puck drop.
Okay, there you go. You know, I was hesitant to ask you that because, I mean, you look at the standings, the Wings are way down at the bottom of the Atlantic, and I was hoping that I wasn't going to be rubbing salt in the wound by asking that question about your thoughts on the on the year so far.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to end up there. I really don't. And it's not me being a fan. You know, when they were horrible, I was the first one to tell you they were horrible, and it wasn't that long ago, like 5 years ago. You know, I'm not a psycho fan that can't admit when their team sucks. I mean, we were the drizzling shit. But they've absolutely turned it around. Are they Stanley Cup contenders? Absolutely not. But I think if they can improve on last year, make the playoffs, then it's going to be a much more attractive place for players to want to get traded to and want to go like it was back in the heyday.
All right, I got to ask you, do you have Stanley Cup picks or maybe a couple of teams that might be contenders?
Oh, man. It's the beginning of the season, it's always so hard. But
yes, it is.
I don't know what happened to the Rangers last year. I was really impressed with them. I don't know. Who did they lose first round or something?
They lost in the second round. I think they made it out of the first round.
Yeah, they were really good. If they can get it together, they could be dangerous. Another one I don't understand is Toronto. Why they haven't been there? That's a whole other rabbit hole, I guess. But those teams I think have a good shot. Again, I don't know where Toronto is. Are they at the top?
Toronto's at the top of their division. I think they're second place right now, I believe, in the Atlantic.
Okay.
You know, so they're doing okay. I have to pick Edmonton. I think Edmonton can do it.
No, Edmonton's great. I mean, they have playoff experience now. You know, they're going to be really tough. Yeah, I forgot about that. They can stay injury free. They've got a hell of a team, and they're going to be hungry for it.
Yep.
You know, as Darren says, the best thing that happened was that they lost. They got swept by the Devils in 90.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they actually became a much better team and knew what it took to win it.
Yep, absolutely. Well, we shall see how the NHL season. It's always some wacky stuff goes on. You know, there's something always that, you know, that'll make us go, "What the hell?"
Yep. Yeah, definitely. There's always a weird changing of the guard, and you don't see it coming. But yeah, it should be an interesting season. I think we're starting to see the reemergence of some new stars in the league.
Yes, you know, agreed.
Some of those old cats are still sticking around and playing great. You know, Sidney Crosby had one of his best years last year. I don't know how that's possible.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I was going to say the Pens, they got goaltending questions but this season. But, yeah, I mean, Crosby's still playing at a high level. So is Malkin. Even Letang is doing well, you know.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah. But, it's good to see those new kids like Bernard, you know, coming out. And, of course, Celebrini as well. So it's a good time to be a hockey fan.
And the whole first line of the Oilers and I forgot what the other thing was. Do you think Ovechkin's going to get the record?
I don't think so. I think he's going to need two seasons. I don't think he does it this season. I think he gets it, but I think it's going to be next season. Because I hate to say it because I hate the Capitals, but they tooled up this year. They might be able to go for a run. So
right. They definitely got better. Yeah, indeed. I'd like to see Ovi get it. That was like one. That wasn't the you know, if anybody can break Gretzky's assists and points record, I'll eat my hat, at least in my lifetime, you know. But I mean, to see one his goal record go down, even though he wasn't a goal scorer necessarily, he was a pass first guy. That's pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
indeed,
you got to remember, Ovi played in that era where there weren't, you know, five guys with 140 points. points on the team. Mm-hmm. They, you know, there was low goal scoring. He was still getting 50 and 60 when nobody else was close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's very impressive. I mean, Gretzky was playing. I mean, he was getting God knows how many goals per season. And then there was people, you know, 15 points behind him, but still in like the 60s, 50-point games all over, or 50-goal seasons all over the place.
Yeah, it's always interesting to see who might break what records. And I, like I said, I think OV will get it, but I think it's going to be next year. I don't know if he can do it this year. We'll see. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, I think you're right. I think that's probably what it's going to be. I hope I'm wrong. I always liked OV. It'd be really good to see him get that record.
Mm-hmm. All right, with that, Dom, let's go ahead and I'm going to wrap things up. You already talked about all the social media and the Kickstarter and whatnot. So I'm just going to say, first of all, safe travels, since you are, as I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, you are driving while podcasting. I don't know. Is that a thing? That is maybe I can make it into a thing.
Yes. I have to check the rules in Ohio here. I'm by Bowling Green somewhere. Is it city to city? I better hurry.
Yeah, put the pedal to the metal. Come on, Dom, get home. Get up there to Michigan. All right, Dom, it's been fun chatting with you, man. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Dom Riggio, talking about Donnybrook Issue 4 and the Kickstarter for it, which I know I did not mention this in the intro, but the Kickstarter is coming to a close really soon, I believe November 4th. So don't wait, don't hesitate, get on over to that page, check out what Dom is doing, plunk down some money, or as you heard us say, help spread the word. One of the two. And Dom would appreciate it. All right, now it's time for me to tell you where you can get in touch with me if you have a question about this episode or any episode of the PVDcast. Well, first, you can shoot me an email. johnorlando@pvdcast.com is my email address. You can leave me a message over on the Facebook, Instagram, and Threads accounts. It's at PVDcast. And you can even check me out on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is at PVDMVP. Now, maybe you want to let some folks know about this great podcast and where they can hear it. Well, there's a bunch of avenues for that as well. PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly and probably the best place to get every single episode. But it's also available through all those major podcasting outlets and apps. All you have to do is go to the search bar of your favorite app, plug in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should be able to find it. And if you're listening through your favorite outlet or app, let them know how much you enjoy the show. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm. And by the way, while you're there, subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVDcast. But there's even one final way that you can check out all the goodness, and that is through the Facebook page. Every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I do a live broadcast of the week's episode. So there you go. You can check it out at pvdcast.com through your favorite podcasting outlet or app, and of course through the Facebook page for the Wednesday night live broadcast at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I thank you very much once again for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous. Stay independent. Stay safe and healthy. Following has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2024.